Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, goodness, this is a challenging gospel lesson, isn't it? Do you ever struggle to make sense with what Jesus said in the Gospels? Right? We all have our favorite passages in the Bible, some that encourage us, some that comfort us. And then there are some passages, like the one we just read, that leave us thinking, what in the world? Jesus, why did you say that? Or maybe, Jesus, that doesn't sound like you. Aren't you the Prince of Peace? Didn't you come to bring peace? Well, first of all, it's incredibly important to remember that when we read the Bible, we cannot read it literally. Those who wrote the Bible never intended for it to be read literally. The only faithful way we can read Scripture is by understanding it contextually. When we understand the multifaceted original context that it was originally written in. For example, in Leviticus 19, God's people are commanded to not wear, quote, a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material, end quote. Well, if we were to read that literally, we'd have to get rid of most of the clothing, if not all of the clothing that we own. Or when Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If we read that passage literally, none of us would have either of our hands or either of our eyes. And I really don't think that Jesus meant for the original hearers to literally cut off their hands or cut out their eyes. What I'm getting at is that in order to faithfully understand what Jesus was trying to communicate, we have to understand the context that he was speaking in. The second thing is, when we hear or read Scripture, in order to truly understand what is being communicated, we have to read it through the lens or the filter of God's character. For example, in today's gospel lesson, we read those verses through the lens of Jesus. And we know that Jesus is God, which means that Jesus is faithful and just and compassionate and merciful. We know that Jesus is love. And so yes, when we first read these verses, we might question what we're seeing because they seem so contradictory to who we know Jesus to be. But Jesus doesn't literally want family members to hate one another. And so let's together look a little bit more at the context and put on the lens or filter of Jesus so we can see what he was trying to communicate. So because of where this is located in the Gospel of Luke, we know that Jesus is talking about discipleship. Jesus was passionately speaking about how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their life. That's the context in which Jesus says these verses. Jesus was passionately speaking about how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their lives. Right? He was communicating that faithful discipleship, faithfulness towards God, means that we love God more than we love any other. And that we love God more than everything, even life itself. Also, a big thing to understand contextually is that in first century Palestine, to hate was not an emotion word. Instead, to hate in first century Palestine spoke to one's loyalty and spoke of one's faith. And so to hate means to regard less. It's not an emotion word. It means, in this context, to regard less. So what Jesus is saying is that we are to regard our family as less than we regard God. Jesus is saying that we are to regard God more than everything, even those closest to us, even familial relationships. What's happening is that Jesus is using a really strong contrast to make a very strong point about our faithfulness to God and what it should look like. Jesus was emphasizing how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their life. In our baptism, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus calls us to follow him fully and completely with all of who we are. This is the kind of discipleship that Jesus called his followers to in Scripture, and it's the kind of discipleship that he calls us to today. We don't just dip our toes in the baptismal water, following Jesus just a little bit. We don't follow Jesus only in certain areas of our lives. No. We were buried with him in those waters, and in those waters, when we're buried, we die to sin and to death and to our own selfish desires. And then we are raised to new life in Christ, and God begins to transform all of us. The call to follow Jesus is not a partial call. We don't just follow Jesus when we want to, when it makes sense, when it's convenient, or when it's easy. Jesus calls us to follow him completely, with all of who we are, and in every area of our lives. And the truth is, when we do just that, it will affect every area of our lives. Because when we follow Jesus, God transforms our values, our priorities, our goals, our behaviors. Right? Last week's text and sermon was Jesus addressing how our financial values are directly related to our relationship with God. Jesus again calling us to follow him with all of who we are. And so the truth is that when we follow Jesus, the way we live changes, our values change, our patterns of thinking and doing change, and that's going to affect our relationships, particularly those closest to us. It's going to disrupt the peace in those relationships. It's going to alter the equilibrium. It's going to upset the status quo. And all of that has potential to bring division. It happened in Jesus' own family, right? Do you remember in his ministry when he had been healing people and teaching and preaching? Jesus was so faithfully and fully committed to God's will and bringing God's kingdom of peace and justice on this earth, that his family thought he went crazy. They thought he was out of his mind, and they went to get him and take him back home. Jesus, being completely and fully faithful to God, affected his family relationships as well. Jesus does not sugarcoat his words about what the life of discipleship will look like, not even a little bit. When we follow Jesus, we will be transformed. Our values, our priorities, our character. Because when we turn our eyes and focus on Jesus, other things go out of focus. The truth is, Jesus never promised that following him would be easy or comfortable or convenient. He himself endured great trials, hostility and conflict, and suffering beyond comprehension. He was willing to do all of this because his faithfulness to God was the most important thing in his life. Jesus shows us what it looks like to love God more than we love our family and friends. And Jesus shows us what it looks like to love God more than anything, even more than we love life itself. Sisters and brothers, may God transform us so that our faithfulness to God is the most important thing in our lives. May we follow Jesus completely with all of who we are and all that we have. Amen.